MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Monday, June 17, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. 17-year-old male was shot and killed Saturday night in Lynn. Several in Gloucester city budgets are in the news. And Nicole McLean discusses Juneteenth in today's newscast.
I'm Bill Newell, and a bit later in sports, the Celtics will be shooting for an NBA title tonight, while we have a local team here on the North Shore that just won their fourth straight state title. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you. Sun and clouds near 80 today. High tide, Gloucester Harbor, 8:43 p.m. A 17-year-old male was shot and killed Saturday night at the Market Basket parking lot in Lynn. Daily Item reporter Adam Levine writes today that the shooting took place just after 9 on Saturday evening, and according to Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker, one of the gunshots fatally struck the 17-year-old who was in a car. Lynn police are asking for the public's help with the investigation by calling 781-595-2000. Also, over the weekend, our website has reported on 8 individuals shot in Methuen, as well as a stabbing in Chelsea. Beverly teachers are urging the city council to pass a budget that includes a historic amount of money for teachers. Paul Layton reports in today's Salem News that at last week's public hearing with the city council, 4 educators said money is needed to improve pay for teachers and to avoid further cuts to staffing. The head of the Beverly Teachers Association and a Beverly High School teacher, Julia Brotherton, spoke in favor of additional school funding.
But I'm here to urge you to pass the full budget that the school committee has sent to you. The additional funding that the school committee added a couple weeks ago is indeed historic. But I'm also here to tell you that one of the reasons it's historic is that Beverly teachers, compared to people in other parts of the region, are actually underpaid. So we're going to be asking you to make another historic investment going forward, but this is a really good start. Beverly teachers, if you look at any metric, you'll see that our wages are way below those of people in our neighboring districts, and we are losing teachers to other districts who go there to get higher wages. And as my colleague Mr. Bond said, we also need to make sure we can pay teachers enough to stay living in Beverly or to move to Beverly if they want to. So, again, I'm here to urge you to pass the full budget this year, and thank you for your time.
The Beverly City Council will be meeting again tonight. We'll feature additional comments from last week's hearing later in North Shore Today Extra. The Salem City Council has passed a $202.6 million budget for fiscal year 2025. Caroline Enos reports in today's Salem News that the 10 councilors who were in attendance all voted for the budget. This is the first time the city of Salem has passed a budget over $200 million. In Gloucester, Ethan Foreman of the Gloucester Times reports today that the Gloucester City Council is expected to approve the mayor's proposed $140 million budget tomorrow night. The budget still has a $2.2 million gap between what the mayor has offered and what the school committee approved in its budget. Rockport Music has named Suzanne Wilson as its new CEO. She will replace the retiring Tony Beadle, who held that position for the past 14 years. Wilson begins her job on July 1. And Juneteenth celebrations will be held around the North Shore this week. The head of the North Shore Juneteenth organization, Lynn City Councilor-at-Large Nicole McLean, was a guest on Lynn TV's Danny Fattori News program. She describes the significance of the holiday.
Absolutely. So the Juneteenth holiday commemorates the ending of slavery in the United States for Black Americans. So the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863. And then in Galveston, Texas, the word didn't reach them until 1865. And there was also enslavers that were moving deeper south to escape the reach of the information. So they didn't want to let their enslaved people go. They knew of the 1863 signing of the document, but in order to keep their people enslaved a little bit longer, they kept on moving deeper south, where the information hadn't been received yet. So by the time that information got to Galveston, Texas, there was 250,000 enslaved black Americans in that town who heard of their freedom 2 years after that proclamation was signed. So that's why the celebration of Juneteenth is so important, because it's not just Galveston, Texas that was informed, but also those enslaved that were being moved deeper and deeper south. You know, so people from enslaved black Americans from all over the United States basically celebrate this holiday because, you know, we're not free until everyone is free. So, yeah, so that's when they heard of their freedom. And even that day, they weren't able to, everybody wasn't able to exercise that freedom because they were like ridiculed and punished and all of that, because they were trying to exercise their freedom. So the first Juneteenth celebration didn't happen until 1867. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's Lynn City Councilor-at-Large Nicole McLean speaking on LynnTV.org. Sports next with Bill Newell, followed by North Shore Today Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics will try again tonight to win and get an NBA title. The Celtics host the Mavericks tonight in Game 5, and the Green lead that series 3-1. Tip-off tonight at 8:30. Nick Giannino of the Gloucester Times has covered all 4 games of the series so far and tells us...
Dallas really was taking it to him defensively, and then on the other end, it seemed like Boston had no resistance in the paint. I mean, both Luka and Kyrie were getting in there, getting layups pretty easily. So it was just a bad game, you know, chalk it up to a bad game. It happens in the course of a long season. They've played 100 games now, and they've only lost 2 in a row 4 times, I believe it is. So, you know, they know how to bounce back, and it's unfortunate the timing of it where they had a chance to close things out. But it's hard to sweep teams, especially at this stage in the playoffs. It's only been done 9 times in the history of the league, an NBA Finals sweep. So, they're still in good position. It stinks, you know, that would have been nice to close it out with a sweep and kind of supplant their status as an all-time great team. But a win Monday and all will be forgiven.
Gloucester Times sports editor Nick Giannino. The Red Sox beat the Yankees last night 9-3. In Sunday night baseball, the Sox will open up a series in Toronto tonight against the Blue Jays. Winning a state title is always big. Winning 4 straight titles then must be bigger than big. The St. John's Prep lacrosse team beat Needham on Saturday, and they have now won 4 straight Division I state titles. St. John's Prep John Pinchon, the former coach at Beverly High School, now having done 4 straight titles at St. John's Prep. Did he ever think that would be possible?
I mean, from like a organizational standpoint and from a culture standpoint, if we had not won 4 state titles, I would still be incredibly proud of how the group is, because it's the work that they put in. We ask an immense amount of these kids on a daily basis. They get a practice plan every day they have to read. They get basically, we ask a lot from them, and they have met the expectations and exceeded them. So the results, right, the wins are nice, but just how the program conducts itself and the kids themselves, I'm incredibly proud of.
Prep coach John Pinchon talking after the game on Saturday at Burlington High School. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Monday. North Shore Today Extra is next. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is North Shore Today Extra. Today we're featuring some extended comments from the Beverly City Council public hearing, which involved the school department budget. Several educators spoke, and then it came to housing as well as a connecting issue to affordability for teachers in the city of Beverly. So again, here's some of that public hearing with some of the educators speaking at the city council meeting last week.
Thank you very much, Matt. I didn't know I could speak tonight. I just came sort of with solidarity with my teacher friends. But I was moved by something that I got this afternoon from a coworker. And so I guess not only am I going to speak for myself, but also his concerns are mine too. And I wish I had it. He wrote me a very moving piece that he wanted to send to school committee about how he loves, born and raised, Beverly. Always wanted to be a teacher in Beverly. Went into this sort of social contract of becoming a teacher with the promise of at least, you know, a working wage. And he illustrates in his postcard or laments that he can't afford to live in the city that he loves, that he works in, that he tries to better every day without substantial assistance. I also want to reiterate a point that I tried to make earlier about not only arguing for myself, but also all of our collective futures, and that we're locked at a wage that is challenging, and the social contract that we have, if we try to move on with this wage and we're locked into it, then we're locked into a future at this also wage that puts us reliant on other sources, and some of the level that we're compensated at now makes it really hard to even self-invest in some of these other sources. So, but I'd like to get back to my friend's email or friend's comment that you know, he loves the city, and he wants to continue to give back to it, and he wants to feel supported in it. And so, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bond. Correct order, Julia Brotherton. If you'd begin with your name and address for the record, and then you as well, when you hear Vice President Crowley's timer, if you would just draw your remarks to a close. Thank you.
Hi, Julia Brotherton Street. I'm the president of the Beverly Teachers Association and a teacher at Beverly High School. I'm just here, first of all, to express my admiration for all of you and your hard work as city councilors. I know you have a lot of different competing demands to balance, but I'm here to urge you to pass the full budget that the school committee has sent to you. The additional funding that the school committee added a couple weeks ago is indeed historic. But I'm also here to tell you that one of the reasons it's historic is that Beverly teachers, compared to people in other parts of the region, are actually underpaid. So we're going to be asking you to make another historic investment going forward, but this is a really good start. Beverly teachers, if you look at any, you know, metric, you'll see that our wages are way below those of people in our neighboring districts, and we are losing teachers to other districts who go there to get higher wages. And as my colleague Mr. Bond said, we also need to make sure we can pay teachers enough to stay living in Beverly or to move to Beverly if they want to. So, again, I'm here to urge you to pass the full budget this year, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Brotherton. Our next speaker signed up is Drew Redmond.
My name is Drew Redmond. I've been a teacher in Beverly for 22 years. I was raised in Beverly from the time I was 3 years old. My mom still lives here. My brother, my nieces, my nephews. I chose to bring my daughter to school here because I truly believe that Beverly Public Schools are great. And we made that choice, and I'm happy with that choice. I'm unhappy with some other things because, as Julia said, and my other colleagues, and I know you've heard from many people, I don't want to lose the best and the brightest people that we have to teach our children to other communities because I don't think they're better than us. And I don't want them to be better than us. And we have that competition thing going where, you know, we are a great city and I love it here. I don't live here, but I do love it here. I live here most of the time. And I believe that funding the budget will help all of us be successful. I see young teachers come and they're bright and they're energetic and they have new ideas and then they leave. And it's really sad to see them leave. And even more so from a veteran teacher who teaches in an unleveled environment where I have students from severe special needs to high-flying AP students, sometimes in the same class. The paras that we have are invaluable to what we do, and what we pay them is gross. And to keep them and to have them support us is just the best thing for the kids of Beverly. Sometimes they're the only cheerleader, the only person that person can count on, and without them, I couldn't do my job. And I just feel like they're underappreciated and undervalued, and we need to show them that they are valued and that they should be given a living wage, and it's just not fair. And I know that's part of your budget. It's not what you can do specifically, but when you fund a full school budget, that's what you're going to do. So I appreciate your hard work. I know that you appreciate ours, and I hope that you put that in the budget. Thank you.
You can go ahead to the podium. Begin with your name and address for the record, please, and then you also have up to 3 minutes.
That's sign language. Well, should I go around that way and put my name on
I
the list?
I actually understood it.
I appreciate that. My name is Lorna Visnick. I was not going to speak this evening. However, the two gentlemen who spoke before I spoke really inspired me to get up here, and I wish to follow up on things that they both said. Namely, I have two recent graduates with master's degrees who cannot afford to live here. One is an architect and one is a civil engineer. I'm desperately trying to get him to come here and fix our bridges. That's a whole nother matter. We have some control over one piece of the multiple pressures on the budget, that being housing. It's a supply and demand issue, and as long as we are in a housing crisis, the prices of real estate will continue to be very high. And as long as that is true, we will continue to struggle to pay our city employers or any of our workers that want to live here and work here what might be considered a livable wage. There's a lot of data around wealth inequality and how much it's grown since the 1980s. Things like minimum wage have not kept up with inflation. There are many things that are truly outside of our control. But one thing that is within our control is whether we try to release that incredible pressure within the housing crisis. And I wish to thank all of you for all your hard work. I think ADUs by right, clearly you're a leader, right? The state of Massachusetts is now trying to do that. That's one little piece, and there are other pieces that are available. And if I, you know, I cannot speak for the school committee, but somewhat wearing a school committee hat, if I could put my teachers in a place that they could live nearby, right here in Beverly, ideally, that was not nearly as expensive, then we wouldn't have this incredible pressure to pay them that much more money. So I just really want to pound on the housing issue. And I want to say, too, for those of you who don't know, this issue is so important to me that, excuse me, I'm going back to school. I'm not just trying to stand here and wave my finger at you and tell you to fix something that you maybe don't know how to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Visnick.
That last voice was that of Julie Flowers, City Council President. And again, some of the educators speaking at last week's City Council public hearing on the budget, and in this case, the school committee budget that passed the school committee and is now in front of the city council. More hearings are going to be continuing this week in Beverly on budgets. This is North Shore Today Extra, and again, all of this is available on BevCam and on YouTube on the BevCam government channel.